I'm delighted to welcome a new supporting sponsor to the local government news roundup family. It's Ventia, a leading essential infrastructure services provider, redefining service excellence for communities across Australia and New Zealand. Ventia is operating at over 400 sites and with a large and diverse workforce of over 35,000. They specialise in the long-term operation, maintenance and management of critical public and private assets and infrastructure across a broad range of industry segments, including defence and social infrastructure, infrastructure services, telecommunications and transport. For local government, Ventia specialises in the end-to-end delivery of open space management, soft and hard facilities management, street cleansing, minor capital works and much more. Ventia brings capability in whole-of-life asset management and robust use of data for better decision-making for their clients. Ventia, making infrastructure work sustainably for our communities. Head to ventia.com to find out more. Coming up on the local government news roundup today, the latest on asbestos investigations in Melbourne's West, the closure of a netball facility due to recurring mould, a floating sauna project in the northeast ignites controversy, a Sydney mayor responds to a tragic incident, New South Wales housing reforms progress with mixed reactions from councils, an embarrassing start to the new term for Brisbane City Council, Townsville CEO, the latest in Queensland to resign following recent elections, and councillors in Tasmania claim they've been threatened with jail terms over a general manager recruitment process. Hello, welcome to the Roundup. I'm Chris Eddy. All of that and more ahead on today's podcast, brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association, the national broadcaster on all things local government, with support from Davidson, the nationally recognised local government recruitment and business advisory service. It's Monday, the 15th of April, and here's the latest from the EPA on their investigations into reports of asbestos in mulch in public parks and reserves around Melbourne's West. A council park in Brimbank has been removed from the EPA's active lists site. The EPA said yesterday that a clearance certificate had been received from an independent hygienist for Fitzgerald Square Reserve in Sunshine West. One of eight pieces of material collected from the reserve tested positive for asbestos-containing material. Sites in Hobsons Bay are still being actively assessed. An independent hygienist has now assessed 19 of 21 public spaces with recycled mulch applied over the past 18 months. The EPA says results from samples collected at seven sites are due back today. Six sites in Hobsons Bay remain under active management. Macedon Ranges Shire Council has closed a netball facility described as a mouldy sheep shed due to health concerns, according to ABC News. The Kyneton Football Netball Club had reportedly complained about recurring mould in the facility. The council will install a temporary change room for netballers, and there is a planned redevelopment of the Kyneton Showgrounds, including new netball courts and change rooms. The closure comes as Netball Victoria is auditing community facilities across the state with a strategy to be released at the end of the year. Sporting infrastructure projects in regional Victoria are being confirmed as part of the state government's Regional Sports Infrastructure Program, delivering benefits that would have come with facilitating the now cancelled Regional Victorian Commonwealth Games. New and upgraded facilities are on the way at the Shepparton BMX Club, which hosts the Oz Cycling BMX Racing National Championships. A Ballarat sports package will see new seating and a new athletics track at Eureka Stadium and a new community sports facility at Miners Rest, and upgrades at the Bendigo Stadium and some of the city's heritage sporting clubs form part of a Bendigo sports package announced last week. The full list of 15 new or upgraded sporting projects also includes facilities in Gippsland and Greater Geelong, with more detail to be released in the coming months. The approval of a floating sauna project for Lake Sambel by Indigo Shire Council has sparked controversy among some residents who claim the decision may have violated governance rules. The Border Mail reports that resident Kerry Bromage lodged an official complaint questioning the approval process. Deputy Mayor Bernard Gaffney moved a motion to approve the project, claiming massive community support, and said there was a 28-day period during which the decision could be appealed to VCAT. The council's approval of the project was despite an officer recommendation to reject it and 14 community submissions, almost all of which opposed the project. Concerns include heritage issues, commercialisation of the reserve, and the Saunders' lack of connection to services. Also from the Border Mail, councils in the northeast of the state are delaying the introduction of a fourth recycling bin designated for glass. It reports that the region's councils are not in a hurry to follow the example set by Greater Shepparton. Wodonga Council plans to introduce the bins in the second half of 2027, the latest possible date to comply with government mandates. The delay is due to concerns about the cost and impact of the service. Wangaratta Council is finalising its contract and will provide a timetable later this year. And Indigo and Tawong Councils are introducing glass drop-off sites instead of the purple bins. Latrobe City Council has welcomed the establishment of the Dovetail Electric Aviation Development Centre, aimed at enabling zero-emission flights, which was officially launched in the Latrobe Aerospace Technology Precinct at the Latrobe Regional Airport on Friday. The project, a partnership between the Council and the Victorian Government, will boost the local clean energy sector and create highly skilled jobs. The centre will also support regional freight, tourism and service delivery, positioning Victoria and Latrobe as a leader in sustainable regional aviation. Briefly now, Alpine Shire Council is partnering with Bicycle Network Victoria to bring the Great Victorian Bike Ride to Myrtleford later this year. Mayor John Forsyth said the event, in its 40th year, will bring over 2,500 cyclists to the region in November, with an overnight stop in Myrtleford providing an opportunity for visitors to immerse themselves in the local community. Benalla Rural City Council's TAC L2P Learner Driver Program is celebrating the achievement of 200 learner drivers who have successfully gained their driver's licence through the mentoring program. The program is in its 14th year of operation in Benalla and has been coordinated by the council since 2015. Campaspe Shire is preparing to host a sitting of the Legislative Council this week. Mayor Rob Amos said a huge amount of logistical work has been undertaken by the Council and the Parliament of Victoria to prepare for the sitting, which will take place at the Echuca Library on Thursday. The library is closed to the public until next Saturday. And the Kerrang All Abilities Play Space and the region's first Changing Places facility at Atkinson Park are finalists for the 2024 Parks and Leisure Australia Victoria Tasmania Regional Awards. The play space, opened in 2022, features in-ground trampolines, a log scramble area, water play areas and a wheelchair accessible swing. Award winners will be announced in May. This is episode 323 of the Local Government News Roundup, recorded Monday, the 15th of April, 2024, and brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association with support from Davidson Recruitment and Business Advisory Services. The VLGA's Councillor Professional Development Workshop Series provides an interactive and confidential forum for councillors to learn from and to ask questions of those who are leaders in their field. Coming up on Friday, a special members-only professional development workshop for councillors, discussing current issues and providing strategies and tools to help councillors perform at their best. Melissa Scadden, the managing partner of Justicia Lawyers and Consultants, will lead a program on managing difficult conversations. The event occurs via Zoom this Friday from 12 p.m, and you can find out more, including registration details, at the VLGA's website, vlga.org.au. The Mayor of Waverley, Paula Masalos, moved quickly on the weekend to reassure the community of Bondi that the area was safe in the wake of the shocking events at a Bondi Junction shopping centre. Six people died in a stabbing attack which has shocked the country. Mayor Masalos appeared on national television to confirm assurances from police that the perpetrator acted alone and to praise acts of heroism from first responders and community members, including a policewoman who prevented further violence. Waverley City Council has been posting updates to its website on the current conditions at the site, how members of the public can leave condolences, and advice on a range of support options for those needing assistance. The New South Wales government has added six sites to a list of transport zones for high-density housing under its housing policy, bringing the total number of stations to 31. The plan aims to tackle the state's housing crisis by building more homes near train corridors, potentially delivering over 170,000 homes across Sydney and other regions in the next 15 years. The Illawarra Mercury reported one of the 13 affected local government areas is not on board with the proposal. Ku-ring-gai Council has reportedly rejected the government's plans, citing concerns over infrastructure and heritage properties. The government says it will work with the councils to develop housing plans and infrastructure and expects the majority of the sites to be finalised by the end of the year. Inner West Council has welcomed the decision to keep planning powers for areas around Ashfield, Marrickville, Dulwich Hill and Croydon stations with the council. It means the council can continue to progress its local planning to deliver more homes in these precincts. The government's decision is seen as a validation of the council's insistence on negotiation over rezoning policies. Inner West Mayor Darcy Byrne said the council's strong advocacy to the government had paid dividends. Port Macquarie Hastings Council has joined a task force to eradicate the invasive tropical soda apple plant, which is threatening grazing land and river systems. The plant can replace a hectare of pasture in 6 months. It forms thickets that prevent livestock access to shade and water and can be poisonous to humans. The task force, comprising various government agencies, local councils and farmers, aims to strengthen the fight against the plant. A new best practice manual has been developed to help landowners and farmers manage the weed. To Tasmania, the Advocate reports that councillors at Tasmania's La Trobe Council were allegedly threatened with jail if they disclosed information about the appointment of a new general manager. Mayor Peter Freshney reportedly instructed councillors not to conduct reference checks on the sole candidate and to destroy all notes about the individual. The new manager, replacing Gerald Monson, is expected to be announced soon and will also manage the neighbouring Kentish Council. The reports have given rise to speculation about the identity of the incoming general manager. Georgetown Council has approved a 40-lot subdivision at Beachford, potentially doubling the township's population, despite local resident concerns. The development will transform a vacant 7.3-hectare site into 40 residential lots. Concerns raised include wastewater management, increased traffic, and lack of amenities. The Mercury has reported council assurances that the subdivision will not impact existing infrastructure, and any required infrastructure would be installed as part of the development plans. The council voted 7-1 in favour of the subdivision. Now, a bit of news out of Queensland. A mistake in the declarations of office read at the first meeting of the new Brisbane Council, which omitted a line about the code of conduct, has raised questions about the validity of the meeting and its decisions. So much so, a redo meeting is now scheduled for Tuesday, according to a report from the Brisbane Times. Outgoing Chief Executive Colin Jensen described the situation as an administrative error and apologised on behalf of the council. Lord Mayor Adrian Schrinner expressed his profound disappointment in what he called an inexcusable mistake, while Labor's opposition leader Jared Cassidy said it was frustrating that they cannot yet officially begin work. Townsville City Council has announced the resignation of CEO Dr. Prinz Ralston, effective from Friday the 10th of May. Dr. Ralston follows the CEOs of Maranoa, Bundaberg and Brisbane, who have all resigned since the recent local government elections. Dr. Ralston has thanked the council's team of more than 1,800 people for their support and dedication over the past 4 years. In a statement released on Friday, new Mayor Troy Thompson thanked Dr. Ralston for serving the Townsville community with great professionalism and dedication. And Maranoa Regional Council says it has accepted the resignation of its CEO, Edwina Marks, and that she offered her resignation proactively. The council has announced that it will not require Ms. Marks to serve the remaining period of her notice. It has appointed Cameron Hoffman, the council's Deputy Director of Strategic Road Management, to serve as the acting CEO, while a search for a permanent CEO is conducted. In South Australia, the Local Government Association has recognised Minister Geoff Brock's contributions to local government as he steps down from the South Australian Cabinet. It said Mr Brock's efforts have strengthened the relationship between the state government and local councils and improved regional roads and infrastructure. He's also credited with initiating the Local Government Participation and Elections Review. While Mr Brock has resigned from the Cabinet, he will continue to serve as the member for Stewart. And to Western Australia now, where the City of Joondalup CEO James Pearson has retained his current powers after a council vote against a motion to reduce them. 7 of the city's 13 elected members had called for a meeting to vote on a proposal to strip some of the CEO's delegated authority. 2 of those councillors later withdrew their support for the proposal. 9 proposed amendments to the CEO's delegated authority were voted on separately and all were rejected. An annual review of delegated authority is due to come before the council next month. You can read more on that story from Perth Now, which also has the story of residents from the town of Bassendean who are urging their council to devise new strategies to protect the town's sparse tree canopy. The call follows the council's decision to revoke a proposed planning policy to protect trees on private property after advice from the Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage. The policy would have prevented the removal of trees over 8 metres high with a canopy of more than 6 metres from private properties without development approval. More news in brief. Councillor Maria Suarez has been elected Deputy Mayor of Sunshine Coast Council and will serve alongside its new Mayor, Rosanna Natoli. The City of Wollongong has won the right to host the 2026 Local Government New South Wales Annual Conference, a pivotal event for the local government sector. The conference will see hundreds of councillors, general managers and council staff from across New South Wales gathering to discuss important community issues. Inner West Council is advocating for urgent action to address stormwater issues and naturalise the Cooks River due to concerns about its deteriorating health and ecological balance. City Hub reported that a motion calling for the New South Wales Government to commit resources to improve the river's health received unanimous support. And Marcus Geisler, CEO of the Eastern Metropolitan Regional Council in Western Australia, has announced his retirement after 5 years of service. The EMRC delivers waste, resource recovery and sustainability services on behalf of member councils Bassendean, Bayswater, Mundaring and Swan. A recruitment process to find Mr. Geisler's replacement will commence immediately. This is the Local Government News Roundup for Monday the 15th of April 2024. It's episode number 323. Don't forget you can access all of the stories that we reference in the program along with a full transcript on our website at www.lgnewsroundup.com. Now for some stories from around the globe. We're going to Canada and the US shortly, but first the UK. 2 assaults are being investigated by police following a council meeting at Evesham Town Hall. Councillor Emma Nishigaki claimed that she was attacked after the meeting. But according to BBC News, the council denies there was an attack, saying it's not received any reports despite there being 20 potential witnesses. Police have confirmed 2 separate reports of assaults and that there is an active investigation. 2 investigations are underway against York City councillors for alleged breaches of conduct. The first involves a councillor accused of inappropriate and disrespectful behaviour, including sharing confidential information. The second investigation concerns a councillor who allegedly breached conduct by involving third parties in a formal complaint. The outcomes of the investigations will be determined in hearings where potential sanctions will be decided. Epping Forest District Council has issued a zero-tolerance policy for violence or abuse towards its staff or contractors following an incident involving a refuse crew. The council says it supports its refuse crews and reminds residents to report any issues with the refuse service directly to the council. It confirmed that non-authorised or contaminated bins will not be collected. The council is also encouraging its residents to check the council's website for information on what goes in each bin. And the UK government has appointed Sharon Kemp, the current CEO of Rotherham Metropolitan Borough Council, as one of three commissioners for Nottingham City Council with the role of Commissioner for Transformation. Kemp will work alongside Tony McArdle as Lead Commissioner and Margaret Lee as Finance Commissioner to oversee the Council's improvement activities. Their focus will be on reshaping frontline services and ensuring the Council's long-term financial sustainability. The commissioners have been granted extensive powers and will oversee all of the Council's improvement activities. In Canada, Winnipeg Councillor Russ Wyatt's comment that we reported last week referring to cycling advocates as the bicycle Nazi has led to a formal complaint to the city's integrity commissioner. Councillor Wyatt has apologised for his comment. He said it was not directed at any specific person and was a result of frustration. But CBC News reported that fellow councillor Janice Lukes believes Wyatt's comment violated a provision in the City Council's Code of Conduct that prohibits harassment, and she's officially submitted a formal complaint to the Integrity Commissioner. The City's Integrity Commissioner, Sherry Walsh, told CBC that she would review whether there is sufficient evidence, but that an investigation may not be needed if a council member has already apologised publicly for conduct involved in a complaint. In Alberta, Premier Danielle Smith is reportedly considering changes to municipality codes of conduct following what has been described as misuse and drama across the province. Smith holds concerns about the codes being used for political point scoring rather than ensuring ethical conduct. The issue has been highlighted by multiple incidents, including over 100 complaints against Chestermere councillors and the sanctioning of Medicine Hat's Mayor Lindsay Clark for breaching the code of conduct. Smith has asked for a review of the legislation to provide better guidelines. And finally, from the US, Seattle City Council support staff are being ordered to return to the office 4 days per week by the Council President Sarah Nelson. Local NPR station KUOW reported that the policy is broader than that of many other local employers, and it was announced the same day as a new labour contract was approved for over 7,000 city employees. Advocates are arguing against the new policy, saying that flexibility is an equity issue, allowing more people with caregiver needs and disabilities to participate in the workforce. The new policy will take effect in June. And that's our podcast for today. This issue recorded on Monday, the 15th of April, 2024, and brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association, your national broadcaster for all things local government, and with support from Davidson, the nationally recognised recruitment and business advisory service for local government. You can find links to the stories referenced in the episode and a full transcript at lgnewsroundup.com. While you're there, check out the latest breaking news updates and learn how you can support the Roundup by becoming a subscriber through a small monthly contribution, which you can, of course, cancel at any time. The Local Government News Roundup is recorded in the city of Greater Geelong, Victoria, on the land of the Wadawurrung people of the Kulin Nation. I'll be back with more local government news soon. Until then, thanks for listening and bye for now. The Local Government News Roundup is brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association. As Victorian councils go to elections later this year, the VLGA is ready to support communities and councils in good governance. A series of workshops has been designed to increase understanding of the local government sector, the work of councils, and the role of a councillor. Registrations are being taken now for workshops in May on standing for local government and local women leading change. And member councils should look out for the VLGA's 2024 Local Government Election Pre-Candidate Prospectus, available soon. Find out more about how the VLGA can support your council and community during this important time in the local government election cycle. Visit vlga.org.au.